a message that I believe will change your life, a message that I believe it's one of the most important messages that I could ever speak, a message that I have referred to in the 40 years of preaching that I've done over and over again, and a message that brings to heart the responsibility that we have as believers, as being part of the body of Christ worldwide, to advance the kingdom of God as it is today on this earth. We have a responsibility. Everybody say, I have a responsibility. And I want you to turn with me now over to Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And I want to speak a message to you entitled The Great Commission, or Get Up and Go. Get up and go. And again, these words I'm about to read were the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. One of the most important words that he spoke to his disciples. He answered many questions for them. They never did fully understand him, but at the end they finally did, because he touched them in a way that they could have understanding of the things he was saying. And he made sure that when he spoke these words, now follow with me, that when he spoke these words, that they were totally understood. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on the earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And he ends it by amen. In other words, when you see an amen in the Bible, it is a amen. So be it. That's what amen states. So be it. It's just not an amen. So when you say amen to a message, or you say a message to somebody else and they give you an amen, they are saying to you, so be it. When you're in worship and there's an amen in the worship, so be it. He's saying, do this. It's really important. And what he's really saying is, go and make disciples of all nations. That's what he's saying. Go and make disciples of all nations. You see, there is a way to witness. And what I'm going to do is break down Matthew 28 there in those verses 18 through 20 in something that you will fully, simply, and fully understand on how to embrace the Great Commission, the go. It doesn't say go to church. We should. Going to church is really a cool thing to do. I think it's really fun to be in church, especially when you're having fun. And I think it's great to worship the Lord in church. It's wonderful. I'm glad we worship Jesus Christ here. I'm glad that we can lift up holy hands before him. I'm glad that we can sing songs from our heart and learn new songs about who he is. And even if we're quiet amongst ourselves, we have a song in our heart towards him. Because the Bible says in the book of Psalms that he put a new song in our heart. Praise ye the Lord. So we have that song there. But this is something that we have to really understand and allow to manifest and grow in our heart and in our minds, of what our responsibility is as a Christian. Not just as a pastor or whatever title people want to own in the kingdom of God, whatever importance people want to feel that they have in the kingdom of God. This is not for just that. It doesn't mean because you are serving in a church that that's all you have to do, is just be within the walls of a church and you can be real Christian-like then. But outside the walls of the church, you're just not being too Christian-like. Well, I'm not saying you're out there in sin. I'm saying that you're just not allowing people to know about Jesus Christ. You know, church growth comes from go ye. It comes from the fact that you go tell people about Jesus Christ and how exciting it is at your church. But you first tell them about Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful testimony to do that. So we'll break that down in a minute. But let me read this to you, something that I wrote a long time ago. Don't worry about those who criticize your efforts to change the world. Worry about those who will be lost if you don't. You know, we're so worried about what people think about us. Get rid of that. Get rid of that. If I witness outside, if I'm a witness somewhere, people are going to think I'm like a Jesus freak. I remember I got a phone call one time from my brother, who is gone now. He was tragically taken from this earth. And I was talking to him, and I was in Salida, California, and we're pastoring our first church there, and I called him on the phone. And he's, you know, he's one of the most infamous Hell's Angels that's ever been in America. And I talked to him on the phone, and I loved him with all my heart. He was a wonderful person to me, but he lived a wrong life. I spoke at his funeral there in Cleveland, Ohio, and the various things. But what I'm saying is this. He said to me on the phone, he said, "So now you're one of those Jesus freaks, huh?" And I said, "Yes, I am, Timmy." I said, "But I still love you, and I hope you still love me." And he said, "Dennis, I could never stop loving you, no matter who you are or who you represent. But I just can't believe you're a Jesus freak." And so that's a great testimony. I love that. You know, I think it's great to be a Jesus freak or a freak for Jesus, however you want to say it. But it's good to be able to tell people about how much you love God. I don't worry about what the criticisms are. I'm concerned about or worried about the lost. Because you and I in the sanctuary, I pray that you and I are saved. That we're going to heaven. If something tragically happened to us today, we'd see Jesus immediately. How wonderful that would be. How wonderful it would be to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. The time we're living in today, it's fearful at times. Hawaii with the volcanoes, Guatemala with the volcanoes, the crime that's going on from the west coast to the east coast, from the north to the south, and all the major cities and small towns, the murder that's going on. Kids are going to school, getting shot, murdered by some insanity that's going on in somebody else's mind. You know, we're giving shields, bulletproof shields and backpacks to children now in America, so when they go to school, they can, if there's a shooting, they can put that up and they can hide behind that shield. You know, we need to tell people about Jesus Christ, because he is a shield about us and a lifter of our head. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, and we need to tell people they can be forgiven. All who have received the good news of the redemption have been delivered from the dominion of darkness. You once lived in darkness. We didn't realize we were living in darkness because we thought it's daytime. We work, it's nighttime, we party. But we're literally living in darkness. We're outside God's kingdom. We're not living for him. But when we became a Christian, in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, it tells us that we've been delivered from the dominion of darkness, set free. When I got saved, I was set free from darkness. Sometimes the enemy wants to pull you back in the darkness, but what you have to do is know that we can live in his marvelous light. And we've been transferred to the kingdom of his beloved son in Colossians 1 and 13. We're transferred right there. We're all of a sudden just taken from darkness into his presence. And we live there. Now I want you to hear that, because you need to love people in such a way, no matter who they are. Oh, I know Christians pick and choose who they want to love. They pick and choose what sin is they'll tolerate and what sin that they won't. And they won't hang around people that are like gross to them or may affect them. Let me tell you something. Love is who we are. They shall know that you are my disciples on how you love one another. That's what the Bible says. Very clear. And we need to love people, our neighbors, our co-workers, wherever we're at. We have to show that love. We have to be kind to people, gentle with people. We don't need to get in Christian debates with people. We need to know that what we do need to know is that we can give an answer if anybody ever comes to us and says, hey, what's this Jesus thing all about? We need to be able to give them an answer that they can understand. Not an argument, not a debate. You know, when I was in my very first church in Santa Cruz, California, my wife and I, we had a storefront church. We were 7 nights a week and once on Sunday. In church all the time. We had witches coming. We had all sorts of people coming. I remember the truck I told you about that had the Jesus sign on the front? Well, I had a witch come out one night and she looked at it and she just growled at it and turned her head and ran away. You see, we had people that were coming there that were deep sinners, but we loved them no matter what. We cared for them. We try to reach a city which is still deeply in sin. Santa Cruz, California, is one of the most sinful cities in all of California. It actually makes San Francisco look like a kindergarten, the things that go on there. But however, we were able to do that. And so we had some people that once when Bethany College was still there in Scotts Valley, California, which is just a few miles north of Santa Cruz, just to help you in your geography there. There was Bethany College, and all these people used to go there, and they would come and visit our church because it was active, it was alive, it was great, it was powerful. Sinners were coming in and getting saved and delivered. It was marvelous, and the word was being taught. It was being preached. People were being loved. They were being fed. They were being clothed. They were doing everything in our church what we should do in the kingdom of God. Well, these people came in, and they were first year students at Bethany, said they had their Bibles. We're going out into the parks and we're going to try to reach people for Jesus. We know the Bible. We're going out there. Well, they didn't know the Bible. They owned a Bible. And they went out there, and I knew. I told my father-in-law, Pastor Pagan, at that time, I said, you know, they're going to come running back right away, and it's not going to be a good report. He said, yeah, I know, but I'm just going to let them go because they need to learn. And I said, Pastor, you probably should go out there with them. He said, no, let's just see what happens. Well, lo and behold, about 2 hours later, they came back in. Some of the people were crying. Some of the people were afraid. Some of the people felt discouraged and they were disgusted. They said, we went out there and we were telling people about Jesus, and we found out that the people that were outside the kingdom of God knew the word better than we did. And so when they asked us to explain things, we didn't know what to say. But the Bible says when we become born again and we learn about Jesus and we get into the Word, that we will, the Holy Spirit, now you see the steps there, the Holy Spirit will give us an answer to give to people when we are asked about Jesus Christ. We will have an answer to respond that'll be an answer that is right. You got to know Jesus. You got to know the Word. The Bible says the truth sets you free. Knowing the truth sets you free. Just having truth doesn't set you free, but knowing it, it does. So it's really important. So let's just look at this breakdown to the Great Commission. During this time, when Jesus spoke this, he said four things there, but the first one he told them about was power. Power. All authority has been given unto me. Power. What is power defined as? It is authority transferred. God gave Jesus authority because he is God's only begotten Son. We'll see that in John 17 in just a moment when I read some scriptures from there. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Listen to this. It's really important because I really want to magnify. I want to energize you. I want you to become great witnesses for the kingdom. Now he is transferring that authority into them. And we have been given authority when we gave our hearts to the Lord. Authority has been transferred into our life. We are not meek little sheep over in the corner making little baa noises. We are bold, born again, spirit-filled believers that can testify about Jesus Christ and what he's done. What he did for me, I can't help but talk about it wherever I go. Literally, I talked to people. I was at the graduation yesterday. You know, I'm just out front with people. I was asking everybody to go to church. You going to church? You know, yeah, everybody. People look, oh, yeah, I'm going to church. I got off the bus. I looked at the bus driver. I said, go to church tomorrow. And he goes, I am. I'm going to church. You know, I mean, you got to just tell people. You've got to be in people's face almost today in the world we live in to tell them there is a God who we serve that's real. You got to get people into it. Yesterday when Becky got up to receive her diploma and they said her name, well, we all screamed out. There was four or five of us right there. We screamed out as loud as we could, but I didn't like that. So I turned around to all the people sitting around me and I said, come on now, come on, get up, let's do this. They got with me. Now, yay, they didn't know who Becky was. You see, you got to just get people into it. And you can do this in Christianity. Get them into it. Show excitement. Right. Amen. Amen. I was walking to our car. We were all done. Matter of fact, we took the wrong bus, but that happens. Then we thought not the right bus. We finally got where we were supposed to be. And we're on the way, and I'm walking to a guy next to a guy, and his name was Dennis, too. Very fortunate to have that name, by the way. But his name was Dennis, too. And, you know, and I said, well, I'm going to preach tomorrow. And he goes, hey, I'm preaching tomorrow, too. He said, I'm preaching out of Mark 5. I said, I'm preaching the Great Commission. I said, do me a favor. He said, what's that? I said, get them shouting happy. He said, I will, preacher. I will. You see, you got to be a motivator in the body of Christ. You got to be an encourager in the body of Christ. You've got to let people know.
Amen.
You know, missionaries, when they go to other countries, they're hungry over there. I'm not talking food. Yes, in certain areas, in certain nations, they are hungry. Some of them are starving to death. Mothers can't feed their children because they don't have the vitamins in their body to produce the milk. All the things. I mean, it's horrible. But when the missionary goes over there, they don't sit around and just talk to one another. They preach the Word of God.
Amen.
When I did missionary work in Europe, when I was there, let me tell you something. When you have a church service, people show up to church. They pack the house. They stand outside. They look inside the windows. They do all this stuff. And when you call an altar call, you may have 300 or 400 people there. And all of a sudden, 60 get saved. Because they're hungry. It's not because of me? No, not at all. It's not me. But it's Jesus.
Amen.
In other countries, people want deliverance. In America, we have gotten so lax. So like, I'm bathing in my darkness. I'm bathing in my sin. I'm bathing in everything. And the church has power to help them. But the church has gotten apathetic. Lethargic. Can I say content in doing nothing? And not excited about who they are in Jesus Christ. We are born again believers. They once said, probably 25 years ago now, time does fly, it does,
yeah,
that America is going to be the greatest mission field in the world. And people, oh, come on now, we're such a solid Christian nation. You know what? America, they said, the second thing they said is that we're going to be sending missionaries from foreign countries into America to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's amazing to me how you can switch when you start to settle down in your relationship with Jesus. Even in a good marriage, when people get married and they're so excited when they first get married. Oh my gosh, it's I love you all day. What can I do for you, honey? I love you. Oh, I love you too. I'm going outside right now, honey. I love you. I love you. You're going outside, you're working in the garden. You hear this at the window. You look and there's your wife or there's the husband saying, I love you. And you go, I love you too. And you pick a rose and you bring it. Oh, everything's fine. You know, after several years of marriage, you know, you're out there in the garden sweating. You need water. No one cares. It's just like, yeah, all right. Well, that's how we become now all of a sudden in America. We've lost our luster of love towards God, and we become settled in the time and our labors that we do to go to church. What do I mean by labors to go to church? You get up in the morning. Oh, it's so hard to get up in the morning. It's Sunday morning. I don't want to go to church. It's, you know, hear me, I'm not making light, I'm not making fun, I'm not trying to be condescending, I'm just saying that we have to understand that there's an excitement in our relationship with Jesus Christ that we should never allow to settle down.
Amen.
Ever allow to say, it should be like I explained in that marriage, I love you, honey, oh, I love you too. Oh, I mean, you're just covered with I love yous all day. Well, you say to Jesus, I love you. He says, I love you too. And you just share that love with everybody that you come involved with. Please be with me on this. The second thing that he showed them, not only the power, but he showed them the process. The procedure, the action, the undertaking, how to do it. Here it is. This is how you do it. Here's the procedure, the action. He says, go ye into all the world. There's an action that we need to take. There's an undertaking that we need to do. In other words, we got to go somewhere. He didn't say go to church and hang out with all the Christian people. He didn't say that at all. He said, go into the highways and the byways. Go into the world and tell them about me. The best subject in the world that we have is not us. Oh, I hear people speak all the time, and all they want to do is talk about themselves. They never use a scripture. That's all they do. They want to tell stories about their life. Everybody goes, oh, that's great. You know, there's no conviction there. There's just time with story. Some people are great storytellers. But the Word of God needs to be spoken, whether in a teaching format, a preaching format, whatever it may be, it needs to be spoken. And when you're out into the highways and the byways, you need to talk to people about Jesus. We went out to eat last night. Went to a restaurant there. We found one that we knew, we liked. We went there and we were with two other pastors. One couple, two pastors, but we were there. You know, and I came in and boy, I looked at this young man. Gummy, and he didn't look happy. His boss was on the register trying to tell him what to do. He was just not happy. So we ordered, and I sat down, and then I went to the back. And there he was standing, and I said, hey, how you doing, man? Do you like working here? He goes, no, I hate it. I don't like it at all. I said, let me tell you something. I've developed people for years, and let me tell you a little story here. What you need to do, you need to continue working your job with joy, put joy on your face, and you need to look for another job, because if you get off this job and you're standing on the side and the canoes are going down the river, it's awful hard to get in a canoe. But if you're in a canoe in the river, you can get in another canoe if you're holding a job. That's the scenario. That's what it is. He said, thank you so much. I said, you know what? You're a good guy. What's your name? He told me his name. And I looked at him. I said, you know what you got to do next? He said, what? I said, you need to get to church. Got to tell him about church. You got to tell him about the Lord. You got to let him know. And you know, and he when we were putting our stuff away, you know, we started to get up, put our stuff away. He said, no, sir, let me take care of that for you. He was happy. I said, that's okay. Here you go. And I gave him a tip. A week in my wallet, took every dollar I had on my wallet and gave it to him. And he said, thank you. I said, just remember. And then I went to the boss. I said, you see that young man over there? He's a great young man. He's wonderful. I said, you got a great guy. And I said, he's not my brother nor my cousin. I don't know him. You need to understand that. And I said to the boss, you go to church? You see, you open up a story in people's lives by saying a statement that captures them. Not with a condescending thing, but an excitement. Amen. To tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's an action, there's a procedure, an undertaking that you need to do. The third thing was a pattern. He gave them the pattern on how to do this. There was a paradigm, a prototype, a sequence, a blueprint, when he literally told them exactly what to do. He said, making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. There's the pattern. That's what you do. You tell them about me. You baptize them. You get them involved. You get them committed to the kingdom of God. You know how churches grow? People leave a church and they go tell everybody they know how great church was. You get them committed because you're excited. You get them committed. You know, when you leave church, some people leave church, they never mention Jesus. Unless they hit their thumb with a hammer and then they say Jesus in a bad way. But they never, ever mention Jesus at all. People don't even know they're Christians. We have a responsibility. That's the third time I've said that word now. We have a responsibility, and that is to bring the gospel into this world. To tell people about Jesus Christ. I believe, first of all, the churches should knock out their walls. When we were in Santa Cruz preaching for 15 years prior to coming to this church, we preached what we had is an open church, no walls church. I used to tell everybody we had the best sanctuary in all the nation. The ceiling was beautiful. It was the largest sanctuary, and we could sit as many as we could. We were preaching to 300 to 400 people every weekend out in the streets, telling them about Jesus Christ. We would call an altar call. I didn't ask them to raise their hand. I couldn't care if their hand went up or not. Are you with me? I hope you're with me because I'm trying to help you here. They didn't have to raise their hand. I prayed a prayer. I didn't ask them to come up afterwards and tell me if they got saved. That's between them and God. I don't know how many hundreds saved in those 15 years, but I know one thing. The gospel of Jesus Christ was shared with excitement and with love and with power, and it was changed. Amen. Will used to be down there. He was part of the ministry. His mother was down part of the ministry. Alex would come down and be part of the ministry. There was a presence of God in the midst of all that darkness that made a difference in people's lives. Amen. I think churches should open their windows. I think the neighborhood should hear the message. I think it is. I really do. You know, when I first came to this church, I opened up the window over there, and they were all like listening to me preach, not saying anything, just looking at me like, okay. You know, and I literally went over and I opened up the window and I screamed out there, God, send me some people that'll make a change in this neighborhood. And their mouths went. You know, Robin, you were there. You remember that? Praise God, send me people that'll make a difference. There is a harvest out there. There's a harvest in your neighborhood. You know what they call me in the neighborhood I live in? The pastor of the neighborhood. You're the pastor. I said, yeah, I am. Praise God. How you doing? Amen. People come over to the house all the time. I come over with my kids. They're not saved. I said, you going to church? You know Jesus? Can I talk to you about God? Well, I don't want to talk about God because God always wants money. I said, where have you been going to church, man? God wants you to go to heaven. That's right. God doesn't need money. Do you think God needs money? No. He owes the cattle on 1,000 hills. We're the ones who need money to keep the church going. I'm going to be frank with you. The money that we bring in has to keep the church going. God doesn't need the money. I don't send God a check at the end of the month. Here's all I offer. Oh, God, this is all I can get. Please, oh, just take this meek little offering to you, God. It's a small congregation, Lord. Oh, Lord God. Here, I hope this helps as you build the kingdom from glory. God's not going to build the kingdom. It's up to us to build the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And we need to love people.
That's right.
No matter who they are.
Amen.
No matter what sin they're in. What did I say at the beginning of this message? When my brother called one of the most infamous Hell's Angels in America to this day, even though he's gone, I told you I loved him. I loved him. But you know what I said at his funeral? When I was a boy in darkness, my brother Timmy was my hero. Are you with me? He was my hero. But when I got saved, when I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, Jesus became my hero.
Amen.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Let's praise Him for a moment. Hallelujah. That's what I'm saying to you. Who is your hero today? So we have this, we have it. The paradigm is there. He's telling us how to do it. He's given us authority. He's showing us the process. He's given us the pattern. And then the promise that we need is there. That promise that he gives. Lo, I am with you even unto the ends of the earth. What does the promise state? What does a promise do? It gives us assurance. It gives, you know, when you're living in the world and somebody gives you a promissory note, you have assurance. If somebody gives you a ring and an engagement, you have an assurance. Amen. When you say I do to one another at a wedding, in the vows that you take is an assurance. Amen. When the doctor tells you, Mom, that you're going to have a baby, there's no swelling, there's nothing there, things are changing a little bit. I understand that. My wife's had 4 children. I understand. I got 8 grandchildren and 9th one's coming in August. I understand that. But when the doctor tells you that you're pregnant, you have an assurance that you're pregnant because the doctor told you you're pregnant. You know you're pregnant. But there's something here that Jesus is saying, not only assurance, he's giving you a pledge, you know. He's saying to you, I pledge to be with you. But he's actually, literally, listen to this, Jesus is making a covenant with you. I am going to be with you to the ends of the earth. I am, nothing's going to change. I'm going to be with you all the way through. See, in Hebrews 13:5, it says this, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I think that's marvelous. Now listen what it says in John 17:21. I love this because if you read John 17, it takes you about, oh, a lot of times to read it. It's deep. It's no, like, you know, couple of verses here, you know. It's not like a John 3:16 thing, which is important and beautiful. Don't misunderstand me. Not like John 17 is deep. It's rich. I encourage everyone to read it. But listen to what he says here that connects to this message. Excuse me. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Sanctified is used a lot here. Sanctified means that it's being set apart for service unto God. Set apart. We're no longer in this world. We're no longer of this world. But we are living in the world to do one thing, and that is to tell people of Jesus Christ. To tell them how wonderful it is and how great it is. There's not a day that I don't go by where I don't witness the gospel of Jesus Christ. That I don't tell someone about God. That I don't sit down and say, you know what? Do you know Jesus? Do you go to church? What's going on with your life? It's become a famous question for me to say to people. Are you in church? Do you go to church? I think people tell people that I'm coming over and say, just answer yes, because he's going to ask you that question. I don't know, but I'm just saying to you is that we need to have a vibrant, exciting life. Said, I'm happy to be saved. I'm so happy to be saved that I know I'm going to heaven, and I want to share this experience with somebody else that they can go to heaven also. Amen. I have people call me that when they're in trouble, they don't even believe in God, and they call me to pray. How's that grab you? Pastor, I know that you know that I don't believe in God, but I'm in trouble. Would you pray to the God that I don't believe in? You see, what I'm saying is that you need to pray. You need to always say to people, how can I help you? What can I share with you in my life? Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what he does. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me throughout their world. Throughout their world. Who will believe in me through their word. Now, here we go. That's us. That word is going forth and forth and forth, and Jesus is praying for us there. Jesus prayed for you and I to be able to evangelize, to be able to do something for Jesus Christ. It's just not an idea somebody had one day. It wasn't an idea that the Wesley brothers had. It's not an idea that Calvin had. It's not an idea at all of any great writers had, Spurgeon and all the people back in the early days, the great writers that are still honored today. This is Jesus said, I want them to have that word also. I want them to be able to be people that will share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want them to do what's good. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's what our deal is. We need to transcribe who we are because of him into them because of who he is. Amen. Tell them about Jesus Christ. To be excited. To be thankful. How many realize that Jesus is not boring? Do you ever read about him in the Bible? He is not boring. He was so fabulous. He was so cool. And let me tell you what it says too here. And I'm going to close on this scripture. I hope I've helped you. Amen. I'm going to challenge you today at the very end to tell someone about Jesus this week. Amen. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, why don't you challenge us to tell somebody to come to our church? Because going to church doesn't get you saved. Jesus does. Talk to them about Jesus first. Amen. It would be great if going to church got you saved. Oh, my God, the churches would be empty. If people knew that, they'd never come. But if you tell them about Jesus, take time with them. Let me tell you who we are. Can I tell you? You see, you have to have an identity here. Our identity is just not that we are Christians. That's not really our big identity. You know how many people I know that grew up in a Christian home and they say they're Christians because they grew up in a Christian home? Let me tell you what it says here. 1 Peter 2 and 9. 1 Peter 2 and 9. This is who we are. This is our identity, Barry. This is who you are when you go over there. Did I say your name right? That's what I meant to say. Anyhow, Very. Is it right? Okay. I said very, didn't I? Well, I wanted to say how very much I'm thankful you're here. Again, I'm terrible with names. When you get in the pulpit and say your grandson has been born and his name is Paul, you're in trouble. When his name was Henry. I don't know. But here's the situation. This is who our identity. This is who your identity is when you go over to Africa. It's not Bethany. It's not what church you belong to. This is who all of our identity is. We have one identity. Listen to me. But you are a chosen generation. 1 Peter 2 and 9. You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
That's who we are.
Yes.
And we need to declare the praises to him.
Amen.
Thank you, God. I am so thankful, Jesus, that I'm saved.
Amen.
I am so thankful. I'm forgiven. Here's my challenge to you. Go and make disciples today. Go and make disciples of all nations. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Find someone every day to witness to. Tell them they're loved. I was on the phone yesterday with somebody in my clothing thought here. I can't mention a person's name, but they said that they were somewhere and they're with some family members, and the family members are living outside the kingdom of God. And I said to that person, please tell them or her, I love them. I love her. And I miss seeing her. You see, that's real. That's how I really feel. Amen. Don't let people find you as a person that they're afraid to be around because you're judging them. Our position in the kingdom is this: to tell people about Jesus, to obey God, and love people.
Amen.
That's it. Amen. Amen.